Well, it's great to see you this morning. Thank you very much. And those who are here for the first time, it's really good to see you. We are a bit depleted today because a lot of people away. The lads are away, aren't they? They've gone camping, haven't they, as well? Yeah, dear me. It's all right for some, isn't it? It's probably a bit being half-term week yet. We missed the girls dancing as well with the flags and stuff. And I just want to pray for Mark. Mark is speaking up at Christchurch this morning. And so we just want to pray for Mark that God will just bless him and just do him good and do the congregation good as well. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for our family, Lord, wherever they are. Church family today is all over the world, and we just pray blessing upon them, Lord, wherever they are, and safety. I just want to pray for Mark, Lord, up at Christchurch. I pray that you just bless him, encourage him, Lord, give him a word, Lord, that will challenge and encourage the people there, and just do him good, Lord. Do Mark good, Lord. Take away any nerves that he might have and just bless him abundantly in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we come to your word today, Lord, it's your word. It's not my word, Lord, it's your word. And I just pray you'd just take these words, Lord, and just encourage us today, touch our lives, challenge us today, Lord. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Whew. God is good, is he? God is good, yeah. So we've been doing a sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not sure, is this the last one, Andrew? Andrew's gone to the kids' church. I think it might be the last one, yeah, in the series. And it's entitled, Do Not Worry. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Are we carrying on? Are we? Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. Next week as well or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. So we'll read at verse 24. We'll start coming at verse 24. Because I think sometimes we miss verse 24 and we go straight into 25, which in my Bible, it's got the title, Do Not Worry. But verse 24 is significant because it says here, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And that translation of money doesn't just mean money, it means other things as well. If you look in a number of translations, it's not just the money, but it's all the other things that go with it, our possessions, things that we have. You can't serve both. And then it comes, therefore, so because you can't serve both, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what will you wear? Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So how are we doing then? If we ask you that question, how are we doing today? Are you living free from worries and concerns? I want to ask you to show of hands. Are you taking each day as it comes? I hope so. The prayer that we all know so well says, give us this day. It doesn't say give us this year or give us it over a long period of time. It says, give us this day. And we know the story of the children of Israel when they were walking through the wilderness. They got fed every day. And if they didn't pick up that daily food, it was rotten. They couldn't pick up more than they needed. And you know, so often that's our attitude, that we want more now because we're worried about the future and what's coming up next. And we've got to be sensible. That doesn't mean we've got to be stupid. But if it's causing us to worry and be anxious about the future, then we need to stop that. It's give us this day. God will give us sufficient for this day, not next week or next year. And it's today, it's not tomorrow. Verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, fortunately, for most of us, is a nice rest day. It's a holiday for me. I'm a rest day every day of the year because I'm retired. But for some of you guys, it's a day off work, so you haven't got to set the alarm. Tom will be working through the night, no doubt, won't you, Tom? Because it's not a bank holiday in America. So we've got different things, but it's saying, don't worry about tomorrow, whatever that might be. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So are we going to have troubles and concerns and worries? Just because we're Christians, does that mean we don't have any worries, we don't have any concerns, everything's always 100% hunky-dory? Who thinks that's true? And I've been a Christian a long, long time. It certainly isn't true. It definitely isn't true. That's why my hair is this colour. Yeah. We're all going to have worries. We're all going to have concerns, yes. But, and it's a big but, it's how we handle them. It's how we handle those concerns and worries is the big thing. It's how we're handling them. Verse 27 says this, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Ask yourself this week or this year, what's really been concerning you? Some of you students, you've got exams coming up or you've got deadlines to meet and you've probably been worrying about them. Am I ever going to get this work done? Am I ever going to get this 1,000 word or 5,000 words or 10,000 words? Am I ever going to get it there? Is it ever going to happen? Some of you might be worrying, I don't know, about Ofsted, things you've got coming up. I don't know, all sorts of different worries that we've all got and concerns. But if we're worrying about them, is it going to change anything if we get and beat ourselves up? The answer is a big no. You can't add anything to our life by worrying. And in this passage here, it talks about the birds. How are the birds doing? Hey, you see the birds? We've got lovely birds in our garden. I see a robin every day and he's picking off the car park. There's nothing there but grit, but he's there every day. He's looking for something, you know. And occasionally I might put a few crumbs down, but I don't normally put stuff in that back part of the garden. Because in the past, a few weeks ago, we had a few problems with those, you know, things with long tails. You know what they are. And anyway, this guy came out, the rat man came out and put the stuff down. And we've had no problems since. And I've never seen one personally, but someone in the flats had noticed. And I've never seen one. So I've never really put food out there. But in the front garden, I always put food out. I've got the nets down and, you know, the squirrels come and eat it all. And when you're looking at the birds, just, you know, that's us, guys. We've got freedom. Yeah, freedom. The birds just singing away and enjoying life. It's there for them. Is the grass growing? Yes, my grass needs cutting. I've cut it once. It was probably a mistake. I probably cut it a bit too early because once you start, you never stop. The grass is growing. It's not going to change. It's always going to keep growing. Yeah. God's in charge of our lives. We're going to keep moving forward. And we need to move forward without worries and anxieties. And it says here, and again, I love this. It says, how much more? And it's without a T in that. But how much more? I keep putting a T in it. How much more? That's me. How much more valuable are you than the birds? Will he not clothe you much more, ye of little faith? Much more. God's going to do much more for us. He's for us. Ephesians 6, verse 10 says, be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord. So often we want to be strong in ourselves, don't we? I can do this, you know, I can do it. And then we fall over because we can't. It says, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil. See, we're in a bit of a battle here. We're in a battle. That's why we're told to put armor on, because we're in a bit of a battle. The devil's out to trip us up. He's out to pull us down. He's out to make us worry. That's why we need to put that armor on. Put it on. A quote here was, each morning when you get dressed, put on your spiritual armour and draw on his mighty power throughout the day. I don't know what you do first thing in the morning when you get up. Obviously, you do your washing and whatever and get yourself ready for work, possibly, but do you put your armour on? First thing we need to get out of bed, he's saying, Lord, be with me today. Lord, whatever I'm going to face today, be with me. Put your armor on. Put it on and say, Lord, no, I want you to be central in my life. And do that before you do anything else. It's important that we put God first. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you've put God on, you put the armor on, and you're saying, Lord, be with me today, where's he going to be? Right alongside you, right in front of you, right behind you. He's with you all the time. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. God is with you always. If you're a child of God today, if you've asked Jesus to come into your life, then he's with you always. He's not going to leave you. He's not just going to turn up when it's a nice day. He's going to be with you all the time. Philippians 4 verse 6 says this. It says, be anxious for one or two things. Does it? Be anxious occasionally. No, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And that's a hard one. It's a real hard one. But let me just encourage you, be anxious for nothing. Whatever it is, your health, whatever, be anxious for nothing. I had a phone call this week from the hospital. It's an annual phone call. Most of you will know that I was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago. 3 years ago, was it? 2 years? I don't know. I can't remember now. So long ago. 4 years, was it? Thanks, John. It's a good job you're here, mate. The memory man's here. Brilliant. And I have to have a blood test every 12 months. And then you get a phone call. They give you the phone call. So I had the blood test and you get the phone call. And the lady rings up and she says, sorry, Mr. Butch, we've got a problem. We can't find your test things. Oh, because of course I'm saying the wrong thing now. You're a little bit on edge. Don't worry. Because you're not sure what they're going to say. She'll have to ring you back. We can't find them. Anyway, she rang me back in a few minutes later. Guess what? Brilliant. No problems at all. Everything's fine. Your blood, nothing. You know, you're well, you're no problems at all. Nothing to worry about. Praise God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Our God's a healing God. He's a healing God. So we all get into those little moments when you feel a little bit, don't you? But I was quite confident. I wasn't really that anxious. Because I knew God was with me and I knew he'd heal me. And I knew I'd been through those 4 years, as Jonathan told me. Yeah. And here we are. God is with us. He never leaves us. What are we focusing our eyes on and our lives on? That's the most important. What's your focus on? What's my focus on? Is it on myself? You see, we need to change into a new place of peace. We need to change into a new place of peace and outlook on life. You know, as we look around the world, we see a total mess, don't we? We see an absolute total mess. It was quite funny at the prayer meeting on Thursday after Wednesday evening. At the prayer meeting, I went into the table and I said, look, no mention of the B word. Guess what the B word was? Dave, what do you think it was? Barcelona. Yeah, it wasn't Brexit, it was Barcelona. I said, no mention of the B word, because there's a few Evertonians there. No mention of the B word. But guys, are you sick and I'm sick and fed up of the other B word. Yeah, and everybody's getting all messed up and, oh dear me, it's all over the place, isn't it? Yeah. I was at a conference yesterday, Ascension Trust Prayer Conference, in Manchester. Les Isaacs was there, a great guy. And I didn't know this, but some of you might already know this, but the country has actually got these practices in place for major disasters. And they've just done one just recently, evidently. And one of the guys was sharing about it, that one of the major things that could happen, if the Queen died, what sort of an impact would it have on the country? You know, if all of a sudden someone, a figurehead like that, and they've got all these things in place with the army, the police, the fire services, to handle those situations of major... And I never realised those things were there. And obviously one for the B word as well. Because, you know, it could be civil unrest. You just don't know what's going to happen. You know, those things are there. Our nation is almost on that sort of knife edge of things, isn't it? And the world is, if you look around the world, it's a knife edge. It's all kicked off in Gaza again. Lots of things happening there. But guys, where are we in this? Where are we in this? We know who's in control. We know who's in charge. So we need to get a new peace and a new outlook on life to know that God is in charge. He's for us. He's with us. Yeah. That song we used to know, Casual Christian. Are we casual Christians? Guys, we can't afford to be casual Christians anymore. We can't afford to be sloppy, can we? Well, I don't think we can, so you're not too sure. We can't afford to be sloppy. We can't. And, you know, we get sloppy. We can't afford to be sloppy, guys. We need to make a difference. This is life and death. It's life and death for so many people. and we need to make an impact. I just want to read, this is the word for today. Does anybody else do word for today? UCB? Callan? Great. Well, this is Thursday's, and it really just hit me. It says this, when Elijah reached his lowest point, God told him two things. First thing, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. Where are we today? In the presence of the Lord. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. He helped Elijah to stop thinking about himself and his problems and start thinking about God. You see, if you don't know the story, Elijah had run away. He'd been on Mount Carmel and seen this fantastic victory where God had burnt up the sacrifice and he'd victory over the prophets of Baal. But then all of a sudden he started panicking when Jezebel said, I'm gonna get you. And so he ran away. He forgot who God was. And we can sometimes do that. We can have a mountaintop experience and then all of a sudden we can forget who God was. And so Elijah had run away. So God helped him, it said, to stop thinking about himself and his problems and start thinking about God. What a great idea. When God has your ear, he can speak into it. When he has your heart, he can minister to it. And that's why we read the Bible. It's so important to us. If life is dragging you down and you're ready if life is dragging you down and you're ready to stand back up, climb into God's word, claim his promises, ask for his help, talk plainly to him. That's one. The second thing he told Elijah was to go and anoint Elisha to succeed him as prophet. Take the focus off yourself and look for somebody else to minister to. There are many people who are also struggling with problems and worries. They need someone like you and me to come alongside them. And if nothing else, to let them know that we can relate to how they feel. They need someone like you and me to minister to them, to encourage them. If you want to see the fog of discouragement lifted, stop looking into the mirror and start looking out of the window. I love that. What a phrase that is, yeah? If you want to see the fog of discouragement lifted and worries and anxiety, stop looking in the mirror and start looking out of the window. The famous psychiatrist, Carl Menninger, who I've never heard of, was asked, what would you advise a person to do who is experiencing depression and unhappiness? He replied, lock the door behind you, go across the street, find someone who has a need and do something to help them. Wow. Don't stay behind your own locked doors. Get out. The truth is, by helping others, you help yourself. Guys, today we need a heart attitude like that. We need something which is countercultural to the world. We're not going to get pulled down by bad news. We're not going to get pulled down by everyone else seeing doom and gloom. We're on the winning side. The gates of hell will not prevail. That means we're knocking them down. Not that they're going to come and knock us down. We're on the offensive. The gates of hell will not prevail. We're on the victory side, guys. I don't know if you know it today, but you are. You're victorious in Christ and I'm victorious in Christ. And that famous verse that we know, which is the last one in the passage there, but seek ye first the kingdom of righteousness and all these things will be given unto you. Whatever it is that you're anxious about, God has got your best at heart. He knows what you need. He knows what's best for you. It might not be the thing you want, but he'll give you what you need. Romans 12 verse 2 says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So important. We need to renew. Someone said this, I don't know who it was, renew, realign, and recommit. Three R's. Renew. Where's your focus today? Is it on the Lord? If it isn't, renew it. If you've never done it before, you've never had Jesus in your life, invite him into your life, renew, realign, come back into line with God's word, come back into line with what God wants for you, and recommit. Say, Lord, yeah, I'm going to make a difference. I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm going to leave these things behind. It's baggage. I'm going to leave it there. If you leave this place today, I'm going to leave it. People have already responded and come to the front, and that's great. There's still going to be opportunity as we come to the Lord's table in a minute. There's still opportunity. This is where it was all done for us, guys, at Calvary, where God said, I'll take it all. I'll take it all. So you don't have to. So you don't have to be weighed down. So you don't have to be dragging it all around with you. Leave it here at the foot of the cross. Can I just encourage every single one of you, even though I know for some of you it's so difficult, and you might say, Dave, it's all right for you. You're just you. But guys, God wants that for every single one of us. Every single one of us. To know that we are in his fullness, that we're a child of God, that we can go out in confidence and face the world and face our lives. But if you need prayer, if you need help in anything, then we're here to help you today. It's what we're for. And we can come to the foot of the cross. So as we're going to break bread, and for the musicians are here, we've got Mike can play anyway, if not all the musicians are here. But as we come to the table, then let's realign, let's renew, and let's recommit and say, Lord, I'm not going to let these worries pull me down any longer. I'm just going to move forward in you.